Please give a big warm welcome for Kevin Olson.
Connie, thank you for playing that song. And you know, I think probably in all of our minds, our hearts are there with Reggie, and I don't even know him, but I care about him. And you know what? One thing that happens at a moment like that is it reminds us very vividly that apart from this, we have no hope. And how desperately we do need. I mean, this isn't just signing in for Sunday morning. This is eternity. This is life. This is everything. And that the light of is Jesus. The light of our life is Jesus. So praise God for that hope that we have. And so, you know, in that sense, you know, why would you want to hear anything from some guest person when your minds are full of other things and the concerns? But I guess it also, here's a little transparency. We were in Tanzania, our family, Pam and I and our three kids. And while we were there, Pam's dad died. We didn't find out until a couple of days afterwards. Communication wasn't communication. And so we found out and called in on the day of the memorial service that they were having. And you know, what do we do? Do we go home? And no, there's no point. It would take 2 days of travel and just all the logistics of that and everything. We only had 2 weeks that there was 2 weeks before we went home. And you know, what that did, it put in our hearts a passion for missions and the need for missions that has not stopped. The need to tell people about Christ was just so vivid in our minds after that. So maybe that can be a motivator, a thought as far as this idea of missions and what is this all about. It's about giving people hope that don't have it. And that's maybe what I can share with you here this morning is giving people hope that don't have it. So what does that look like? Well, it looks like this brochure, this blue one. This is the, after we came back from Tanzania, going around and telling congregations about missions and sharing about things. And the question that people kept asking every single time was, so are you going to go back? And I had never planned on going back, and I didn't even know what I would do if I was going to go back. But the Lord slowly grew in my mind, our hearts, a need to train people internationally, train pastors, train leaders. How do we get this word to be out there? And so this is a description of the ministry that began. It's kind of an overview. And the point is to get God's word into people across the world, across cultures. And so just 5 years ago, we started in 2007, and now it's 2012, and we are in five countries working, and those countries are listed there: Uganda, India, Brazil, Ecuador, and Ukraine. We had our first graduation in Uganda 3.5 years ago, and now they'll be coming up on their second graduation here in January. We started out with 20 men that we're studying together, and now there's a group of 70 that will finish. There were 13 classes that were going on there in Uganda. Pastor Nate Jory is the missionary that oversees that work. In India, we started, that was 2.5 years ago. So they had their first graduation last January. It's a 2-year curriculum, 2-year program. And that group then started 3 other classes. Then went to Brazil, and they are in a bit of a transition now. The leader that was a part of that has gone on to another job. And so they're in the midst of a transition there in Brazil. Ecuador, I just returned from Ecuador last week, and there's a congregation. They have maybe similar church physical size structure. They have 8 cell groups, and they're using this training to study God's Word every week. And then in Ukraine, it's a new group that just started in September. So 5 languages, 5 countries. And how does that happen? It's certainly not by my own strength. It's really the testimony of what God is doing. And that is giving people hope in other places. It's part of what your extension of your ministry, because I'm just representing you as a congregation as going into these other countries. This brochure here is a little update. The picture on the front there, Justo, Pastor Santiago, they're from Ecuador, and those are the ones that just coming back from, and their beginning of the training. And then on the inside, there's a picture of Andy and Monica Coyle. They're working in Ukraine, and they just started a Bible school nine students, their first class this past September. They were given the endorsement by the Russian Lutheran Church, I'm forgetting the name of the church body. Their seminary is based in St. Petersburg, and they were given endorsement saying, we want all of our students to go through your Bible school before they come to our study at our seminary. And then India, Pastor Devis Hyam is our leader of the work down there, and Brent and Emily Ron are considering ministry too. Brent is in seminary right now, and get a little bit of update. On the inside, there's a picture of my son Andrew and Micah Berger. My son Andrew just came back from Uganda. He was there for about 5 months. And then it gives some more. So you can read that on your own just to get an idea of what this whole ministry called Ambassador Institute is about. We're going to have a little bit more a PowerPoint there during the mealtime. Tell you some specific stories of individual people. It would be just a piece of work, you know, just another program, if it was just that. But it's God's Word. And so it's not just another program. And that's what I'd like to give you a picture of here today during our message time, is a picture of how do you jump cultures and language, and how do you study God's Word in a new way? This is an oral style of teaching. We gave an example of that last night, and then a brief one here at Sunday school time. So this text that we're looking at is, the living God is a missionary God, coming from Genesis chapter 12. And this chapter, this text begins right after chapter 11, with the Tower of Babel and the story of all the nations. And so it's kind of a peculiar thing. We think of Abraham, we think of him and just all of this relationship with God. Well, it begins right here in chapter 12. And all of the rest of the Bible is molded by the beginning of this story. And so how does that beginning of what God was doing there through and in and Abraham's life, how does that affect us? The living God is a missionary God. So before we go into this, I need to have a volunteer to help me with this person. We've got 2 men in mind here. I'm waiting for one of them to raise up their hand. All right. Dr. Cole, you don't need your Bible. I will tell you what you are going to say. Actually, you won't have to say anything. We'll start here in the life of Abram starts right off to this side, and just a bit more here. And so you are Abram. That's a esteemed position as opposed to. Bill was King Ahab last night. I apologize again to him publicly for that. But he's a good sport about it. So in the beginning of God's word to Abram. Here is what the Lord comes to him out of the blue. And this is what God says to Abram. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your father's household, and your people, and go to the land that I will show you. I will bless you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all of the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had said, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And he brought with him his wife Sarai, all the possessions they had accumulated, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in the land of Haran. And they set out for Canaan. And they arrived there. Then Abram traveled through the land as far as the great tree of Moreh. I appreciate the object lesson that you put in here for me. And at Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So Abram built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he went to the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. That's it. That's the short text that we have. Now, if you'd allow us, maybe I think instead of reading it through, we'll use three times, but I think we'll just walk through this together. I'm going to trust the memory that you have in your. We'll go back here to the land of Haran, and we'll walk through this. I'm going to ask you. And the point of this is the repetition with an oral style is to get the story into our minds, so that we can interact and discuss it well. So when we are going through this with the students, we'll go through it for 3 or 4 hours and all the various aspects of it. So we're going through a quick version of it here this morning, but you'll get the flavor of it. So in Abram, the Lord says to Abram what he's supposed to leave who and what? Leave his family, his home, and his country. Three things. Leave his family, his home, and his country. And go where? To the land I will show you. Yes. And then he says, I'm going to make him into be a what? A great nation. And I will do what to you? I will bless you. And I will make your what great? Your name great, and you will be a blessing. And the Lord says, I am going to do what to those who bless you? And to those who curse you? Curse them. And he will be, you will be a blessing to who? All the nations of the world, all the peoples of the world. So Abram did what after hearing this? He left, as the Lord had said. And who did he take with? He took Lot, his nephew Lot. And then it says, how old was he when he started out? 75. And then he took also, the second time it goes through more detail, it says his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, and all of the possessions, yes, and the people. So there's four things there. His wife Sarai, nephew Lot, the possessions, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for where? What was the country? Canaan, yes. And they arrived there. That's kind of funny, a 2,000-mile trip in just a couple steps, half a sentence. And then they traveled how far through the land? Tree of Moreh, yes. And what town was that tree located in? Shechem. Who was in the land at that time? Canaanites were in the land. Okay, and then the Lord appears to him and he says something to Abram. He says, "To what does he say to Abram?" Say it a little bit louder. "I'm going to give this land to your descendants." Okay? And so then what did Abram do? Built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he goes to the hills east of Bethel. And what does he do there at the hills east of Bethel? Pitched his tent, and then he built an altar. Yes. And who did he build the altar to? Built the altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And what did he do at this altar? Well, he probably did. That's true. But he doesn't say that in this text. He called on the name of the Lord. He worshiped. He called on the name of the Lord. Okay. Thank you, my dear friend. Let's pray as we begin and try and study this text a bit more. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and we think of Abram and your choosing of him, and we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes, our minds, to hear what you have for us from this text. Your heart, your desire for all nations, starting with one man. It's interesting. Lord, open our eyes to hear and how to apply that into our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I would like to walk through this, and I think it'll be easiest if we just go through it as Abram's life, you know, kind of a chronological process. And so Abram, he is here in the land of Haran, and he gets this great pronouncement of blessing. And what of all, let's start with just that. What is a blessing? Something that someone gives to you. Okay? What else? Give me some more description of a blessing. Say again? A favor. Okay? How about this? I got to be able to walk around, Brian. I don't know how you can. You worry about the sound. How do you? What about that? What is a blessing? A promise. Good. Okay. A skill, a promise, something undeserved. You know, it's interesting. We think about that. Blessing, you can talk about a father passing on a blessing, you can talk about, but it means that somebody has something that they can give to you, right? At the very least. And here is God saying that he's going to bless Abram. Well, that's, you know, if we're going to talk about blessing, there's the blessing of all blessings to get. What does Abram need? He says that he has possessions, he has people. Doesn't need anything. So why would God say he's going to bless him? He had no descendants. Very true. Says more about that as we come into the text a little bit more. So he's a godly man. What else? God has a plan. So even that in itself is a blessing. I mean, that's something that we can think about. What maybe then you could change the question to then, what is the... So Abram, he has all of these things. The Lord is promising a descendant. He's promising a future and a direction and all kinds of things that way. But I think that the blessing that Abram receives is for a purpose. How would you describe? What is the purpose? Why does God give this blessing to him? Bless the nations of the world. God is a missionary God. He wants all people. So, you know, in our minds, sometimes we can think of blessing as something we receive, something we get. But here, the blessing is something that is given. It's given from God, and it's for Abraham to pass on. Abram, to pass on. It's not just to be received. That changes how we live and how we think about all of the things that we have. And what is the purpose of those? What's the purpose of our life? But for Abram, it was... Now think about that for a second. All of the nations of the world? One guy? How's that going to happen? That's a pretty tall order. What do you think? How does one man's blessing go beyond himself? So it comes through Christ as a descendant, and then that is the passing on, for sure. And then that blessing even comes to us in that way. Does it not? We are even recipients of the blessing that God is promising to Abram. Okay, what about Abram and his life that makes him unique? Why would God choose him? He's loyal. Sure. He follows. What else? Faithful. Yeah. He follows, he listens, he's obedient. Good. Yeah. There are a lot of great character qualities from him, and there's, but yet, you know, if we look at other parts of Scripture, there we see his human side too. So he goes, and he's going with this challenge, command, and he's going to this tree, to Shechem. What's significant about this tree or building an altar at that tree? It's a tree, something about Jesus. I didn't catch that. Maybe. I don't think that Abram was meeting Jesus in person, but you could talk about, we won't get into all the details there of God showing himself, but we'll let the possibility of all that stand out because this angel of the Lord coming to talk to him. What else? So the angel talks to him. Why would they make a special note of mentioning this tree or mentioning... Say again? It's the promise. The promise of a descendant... And the promise of the land, what's significant about all that? He's going to have, this is his first time. He's 75 years old, and he's being told that you're going to have a child. Wow. I don't know your age, Bob. I don't want to make any insinuations of you, older or younger, but 75 years old is a tough age to start having children. And yet he didn't even have it yet. That's another text that we could look at. Why Shechem? Why the tree? Why the promise? And what does all of that come together to mean? Why would God show himself to Abram through all of that? Yeah, think about that for a bit. So the people of this area, by the way, just a Middle Eastern culture or African culture, places of trees, and especially like a named tree, would have been a place of worship. It would have been, you know, you can see that in Psalms, it talks about under every tree and everywhere, places of worship. That was a common thing. And so at that place of worship of the pagan gods of that area, of the Canaanites, he builds an altar. What about this statement, God, the God that appeared to him? He builds an altar to the God who appeared to him. Shows some things about God. Shows his interest in care and in concern into Abram's life. He's going to insert himself into Abram's life. Wasn't anything that Abram did. Here's a man he's chosen, and we talked about some of his great qualities, but ultimately he comes here, and he's then given a promise. It wasn't anything that he was able to do or receive. It was just thanks. The land. Yeah, you ever think about that? Yeah, I'm going to give you this land. Did you tell anybody else? Is this just to me? Or even can you imagine Abram telling Sarai, "We're going to go. Where are we going? I don't know. He didn't tell me yet. Who?" God. Right. How are you feeling? Then he comes here and he says, your offspring, I'm going to give this land. He doesn't have any children. A little problem there. This land, the Canaanites say here, did you tell them? I'm sorry, this is going to be my land. I don't think this is going to go well. Okay, so then he moves on. He goes to the hills east of Bethel, to Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and he pitches his tent. And he builds an altar. He calls on the Lord. What's significant about that? Him building an altar and calling on the name of the Lord, any of that? He's thanking the Lord. Sure. This is calling on the Lord, saying it's an altar, it's a place of sacrifice. What else? How else would you describe the scene there at Bethel? We transformed your sanctuary to a new country, new place. Right. Driving in the stakes. This is my home. Good. What else? He's setting a precedent. Yeah. In all of the land, that all of the idols that they're worshiping, this is the God that I'm calling on, that we are calling on. I mean, first time they're being introduced to a new God they had never heard of. No idea about this. In fact, I mean, even Abram himself, he's learning about this all the way along. And yet it's the place where God, where he calls on the Lord and he is introducing. And it's so the place where he lives, his home, that's where he calls on the Lord. Even we could talk about this, even as he walks through the land, we could talk about that. Going through the land as far as the tree of Shechem and The people, a small town, you know what that's like? He's new in town. What are you doing here? I'm just following the Lord. Who's the Lord? Why are you here? God appeared to me and told me, and I'm going to build a... How do you live out the call of God? Our God is a missionary God. The living God is a missionary God, is the theme. And you can see that lived out through an ordinary man. So now the question is, now to make this a little bit more the application side of it. So the blessing that Abram receives, we also receive blessing. What type of blessings do we receive that make some type of parallel to Abram? God is with us. It's a promise that God gives us. It was a promise he gave to Abram. What else? Christ, same descendant and descendant of descendants that Abram was promised, we also have. What else? Yeah. Assurance of salvation. Here's a man, he doesn't know anything about salvation. And then God steps in. All of the nations. What else? The land was a free gift. Yeah. So it sure isn't free anymore, is it? We could talk about the land. And what about the blessing? The blessing of the land. The blessing of Christ. We talked about those couple blessings. Say again. Blessed him with a family and the promise of descendant that's coming. Can you imagine 75 and getting that promise of a child and then waiting another 25 years? I don't know. That would be tough. How about this whole idea of the tree and building an altar? How does that apply to our lives today? Thanking the Lord for... everything, sure. Yeah, kind. Good. Here's the promise that's given and builds an altar in this place of darkness, the place of the tree where it would have been worship of other gods and all of that. And we, in the same way, can build altars, testimonies of what God has done, how he has shown himself to us. He has revealed himself to Abram. He has revealed himself to us in other ways. And we can also share that same blessing, the same work of God. People need to hear that. The darkness of this world needs to hear that there's a God that intervenes in our life. He comes, he speaks to us, he cares about us. He makes promises, outlandish promises, but great, awesome promises. Promises of all of the nations being blessed. Promises of descendants. We have parallel that we could make to all of that. How God promises us. Even the spiritual descendants that we could talk about. And then, what about this place? The place where he pitches his tent, the place where he builds an altar and calls on the name of the Lord. How does that apply to our lives today? How do we see that lived out? Say again? Yeah. Okay, the Lord has promised, and here he is. He's taking possession of that. Good. What else? Other ways that we can live that in our lives? Good. Good. There's a promise of a heaven that is a land that is to come. How about our land today? Land in our time and our lives today. Where we're at. And that our homes, our places of work, the places where we live and reside, is a place that we call on the name of the Lord. We stake our tents and we make this place is a place that worships God. In all of our life, that would display that. So this whole example of Abram's life is not about his life alone. It is about our life in the same way, because the promise that God gave to Abram, it comes to us, it continues to come. All of the nations of the earth. I'm off doing things in one part of the earth. You're off in another part of the earth. The testimony of going through life and places of darkness that we bring God's light to. And we build altars, maybe that are physical, maybe they're testimonies of how God has appeared to us. And in our place of residence, our homes, that we're saying, this is a place that we are calling on the Lord God Almighty. We're making that statement publicly. That is our God as missionary God. Last theme here in this text. How do you see Jesus in this text? We've mentioned the descendant coming. What else do you see? How else do you see Jesus in this text? How does he help? How does Jesus help the people? Okay. Letting him see himself. The angel is showing himself and talking. God is showing himself. What other ways do we see Jesus in this text? Say again. He keeps his promises, yes. He provides, yeah. Mm-hmm. He gives us what we need. Yeah, can you imagine Abram setting out? What are you going to do for work? What are you going to bring our food along with us? Is all of the disruption that goes along with that? Trusting. Other ways that we see Jesus in this. He calls us. He calls us. He appears to us. He tells us to follow him. I think of the two altars that Abram has built. And the Lord that appeared to him. Is that a testimony of your life, that the Lord has appeared to you? If it is, that's a picture of Christ into your life. And I think of this tree. Somebody shared this with me one time. That it's interesting that it's at the tree of darkness where the altar is built. Altar is a place of sacrifice. It isn't fitting that sacrifice of Christ was made on a tree. And that is ultimately what all of this is about. How in the world does one person bless all the nations of the world except that it is God's work in him and through him? Abram, he's just an ordinary guy. Except for God and the promise of his descendant. And this land that transformed by that sacrifice. I challenge us that we also could be a part of God's mission work. That He desires every single one to be a part of the work He is doing in the world. Whether that be at home, testimony about how God's life, the blessing that we receive, that we are passing it on, the blessing of Christ, the Christ that appears to us, the one that we worship. All of that, that He would be Lord God Almighty in our lives and through our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we do praise You that we do have hope in You. And even as we think about other people in other countries, other lands, the need for that, we really don't have to look very far to see the people that do not know You. And Father, that we would, the blessing that You give to us, the blessings, the countless blessings, but ultimately the blessing of Christ, that we wouldn't hold on to that just for ourselves, but that we would pass that on, share it boldly and Lord, that we would have places of testimonies of how You have appeared to us, and we would allow Your promises that have given to us to flow out to others. And that in our places of work, in all of our aspects of our life, that we would proclaim that message of who You are and what You have done. This is a home. This is a life that is going to call on the name of the Lord. So, Lord, we call to You and we pray to You. Ask that You would be that one that transforms us and uses us as a part of Your mission army. For You are a living God and You are a missionary God. We pray this in Jesus' name.